Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Greetings, brethren. Welcome you to another evening of searching the scriptures. Thank God that all of you could join me either live or listening in the archives. Dorothy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Benjamin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so relieved that the great project that was given to me with the book, The Day of the Lord, is now finished. A task completed. And so I'm feeling a tremendous amount of joy and peace in knowing that, you know, everything's done. And, you know, the enemy sure tried to stop this, but thank God the Lord brought a company of intercessors, and thank you all for praying, everyone that's listening, that helped stand in the gap and helped lift my weary hands during the many days of the battle. That, praise God, the victory is won and the book is finally done, and it is actually available. It's even up even now on the internet. So if people want to get a copy of the paperback, it's available. Not yet at Amazon, but it's available through the actual print publisher, which is createspace.com. And it's the book number is 520-2270. So if you want to go to HTTPS, and then the / is www.createspace.com, and then the number / and the number 520-2270. And praise God, what a perfect number to end on, too. 22 is true. The number of all truth is contained in the number 22. 2 being wisdom, and wisdom doubled, and 22 is the number of the Hebrew alphabet. The number of letters in Hebrew are 22, and so all truth is expressed and revealed through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the number 70 is the perfect completion of all things. 7 is perfection, and 10 is completion. And so God has honored his word in this 7th edition of the Day of the Lord. I almost feel like I shouldn't even be putting my name on the cover. It truly is a work that was anointed, and it was brought forth by the very hand of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. And Dorothy, I can tell you, it's been a long, long, hard road, and an incredible amount of hours of hard work. And there were times where I could not write this material, and I would pray and I'd say, Lord, I'm burnt. I can't even do this next part. You'll have to do it, or it's not going to get done. And the Lord, he took advantage of those opportunities, and I wanted to share some of the beautiful words of God that came forth in this book. You know, saints, if you can receive it, and if you can believe it, the Spirit of God still speaks. And Spirit of God still whispers in the wind. The still and quiet voice of the Most High God still speaks. You can hear him if you enter into his secret hiding place. And, you know, you have to be close to the Lord, though, if you want to hear the Lord. And God is close to the brokenhearted. And he draws close to those who've humbled themselves, or have been humbled by the mighty arrows of the Most High, but they decided to stop the debate and to receive whatever was in the Master's hand. And as Job did as he passed through his fires, they chose to stand and worship God for whatever the Lord would bring. And then the work does begin to do its wonderful things. And as we get less of us, as we decrease, the presence of the Holy One begins to increase in our lives, and the Lord draws closer to us. He comes to us. And in the fires of affliction, in that darkest hour, when it seems that all hope is gone, the Lord comes and He comforts His people. You know, when He brings us to the end of all things, when He brings us to the end of the flesh, and it's a time of great travail, and it's a time of losing things, and it's a time of letting go, and it's a time of casting away the idols, and it's a time for the pride to die. It's a time for the carnal mind to also be put off, and it's a time of the threshing floor. And it's the time for the carrying the cross, those final steps on Calvary's road. But it's really a bittersweet time because, you know, in the very depth of the breaking of God, and in the darkest hour of the night, when we finally bow under His hand, the light begins to come forth. And the Lord's waiting to come to us. He's waiting for that debate to end, that constant, useless chatter. Oh, the chatter will scatter. It just scatters our thoughts, and we run to and fro, and we want to debate with the Lord, you know. But God didn't come to us to have a debate. The Lord came to us to do a work in us. And oh, what a marvelous work it is. Oh, what a marvelous work He has done. And He who began that good work in you, He's faithful and true. His words are faithful and true. And He's promised that He will not forsake you. Rather, He will complete the work which He began in you. And I praise God, Dorothy, that we are in that time when God is beginning to bring to completion works that He began long ago. So I'm rejoicing, sister. It's a marvelous thing to walk with the Lord in an hour when so many are seeking to hear from God and cannot. Because they're looking in the wrong place. You know, we're just not going to find the Lord in the counterfeit. We're not going to hear a voice from heaven through the false prophets. And, you know, we're not going to find the way if we follow the mixed multitude. You just can't go where the many are going. If the many were right, they would not be lost. The many are lost in this hour. And there's a time of perplexity that's come. Even it's coming. An even greater time of perplexity is coming. And the people will be greatly perplexed. Because they'll be at the end of their wits. Oh, their wits will have won them nothing. Rather, they will find themselves undone, because the end of all flesh indeed has come, and the end of all the works of the flesh will be in their becoming undone. God's going to undo them. All that we think we've done, and all that we think we've stored up, and all the things that we think we've accomplished in the flesh, we're just going to watch them become completely unraveled and totally undone in the day of the Lord which has come. Because you know what, Dorothy? You cannot prepare for the end of all flesh through the strength of the flesh or the provision of the flesh or the preparation of the flesh. And now that might seem kind of obvious, because how would you possibly prepare for the end of the flesh by preparing in the flesh? It doesn't make any sense even, really, right? I mean, it's kind of foolish, don't you think, Dorothy? It's kind of foolish. Why would we think that our flesh is going to get us through the day of the Lord? It would be like planning to swim, you know, grab your surfboard, blow up your inner tube, and prepare yourself for 40 days and 40 nights of rain. It's not going to work. You're not going to swim for 40 days. And the truth be told, that water was rather hot. You know, the Lord told us the foundations of the deep were broken open. And the water that's in the deep, that's trapped deep under the earth, is at extreme high pressure. Multiple atmospheres of pressure, 5, 6, 7, even 8 atmospheres of pressure. So water is under great stress, and it's hot. It's mixed into the magma layer. It's super hot. It's supercharged. 800 degrees and 8 atmospheres, and it's not boiling. But when it mixes with the cold water that falls from the heavens, it explodes in steam. And so the water that came forth in the great flood, it just wasn't a flood of water. It was flashing fire of water. You couldn't swim in that water if you tried. Everyone in that water died almost instantly. They didn't drown. The water from under the ground was 800 degrees. And it's kind of a terrifying thought to think that that is actually a cool temperature compared to where the many are headed. And when you contemplate the reality of the judgment that's come, you know, I think we push it out of our minds, and it's too hard to bear. But it would make us desperate to try to save our loved ones and our friends, because we're going to despair if we have to watch them perish. Better that we get desperate before the throne of God in prayer. Because the day of the Lord is indeed come. And the Lord's brought forth a perfect word of truth. And I marvel, Dorothy. This is just like the very first edition of the book, where there were things in the book I did not understand until the Lord put them in the book. And actually, some of the book I didn't understand until I read the book, which sounds a little odd considering I'm the typist. I'm the scribe that recorded in the scroll the word of the Lord. That's a bit of a bold statement, don't you think? In an hour where there's so many false words. But I have to bear witness of the truth, even if it brings me the scorn of men and the wrath of the Pharisees. And oh, I'm sure I will earn the ire of false prophets. If the day of the Lord doesn't accomplish the task, search the scriptures certainly will. The Lord's pulling the punches out, taking the gloves off. This is a battle for the life and the death of his people. And God's going to do what is required to save his little remnant from the claws of the deceivers. And the Lord's going to be rather direct and to the point. He's going to call a rose, and he's going to call the liars to be liars. And in fact, they are liars. But you know, the ones that came to us from the shadows, and the evil ones that came among us, dressed as messengers of light, They were sent by angels of light, and they wore the same deceptive robes. They came bearing deceptive teachings. They're going to get outraged at the truth. It's not going to be pleasant. They're going to protest rather loudly, I think, Dorothy. Because, you know, if you think about it for very long, what else can the apostates do? There's nothing about them that's true. So what other choice do they have? They have to stick with the leaven that's in them. You know, they don't have the love of the truth in their hearts. Because they've never loved the truth, and they've thrown their lot, they've cast their lot in with the lies, they cannot forsake the only thing they have. So the Pharisees had to oppose Jesus for the entire 3.5 years. He said to them, "You don't believe in me because you're not my sheep." It's in John chapter 10. He didn't say to them, "You're not my sheep because you don't believe." Rather, he told them, "You don't believe my words because you're not one of my sheep." See, in order to believe the words of truth, you have to have a love for the truth in your heart. If you've learned to live and to love the lies, the truth is the last thing you want to have. You run from it, discover that your deeds were evil. So instead you hide within the lies and you wrap yourself in a religious robe and you want to argue about the Sabbath day. And you want to debate which language we should pray in. And you want to worry about all the things that Martha was so concerned about, anxious about many, many things. And she was very perturbed with Mary and had the audacity to ask the Lord to command Mary to come under the yoke of her bondage and go and serve the things of the flesh. And the Lord gently rebuked her, telling her that, "Martha, you're worried about many things. You are anxious about many things. But only one thing matters. Mary has chosen the greater part, and it will not be taken from her." And those who don't really know the Lord, or they're very far from the Lord, they're anxious and they worry about so many things. But only one thing really matters. It's really the only part that's going to remain soon. And that is learning to wait at the feet of Jesus. Learning to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And I know the struggle that many have. And there's something in the way that just can't quite connect. There's something in the heavens blocking the answer to your prayers, and there's something that's binding you, holding you back. And if that's your experience, if you're struggling to enter in prayer, then you need to do some warfare. You need to take some time to fast and pray. You need to gather together in solemn assemblies. You need to call on the Lord, because the Lord hears you. It's not that heaven can't hear. It's that you're not hearing the response. Heaven's already answered you. But like Daniel, who was waiting for his answer, had to enter into a season of prayer and fasting, so too we, at times, and it might not even be anything that you've done. It could be the warfare that's been brought against you. It could be the land, the very ground that you're standing on could be full of strongholds, and it could literally be contamination or a defilement of the land itself, or it could be the mixed multitude that you just happen to be with, and it could be their unbelief that's holding back. Entering into the glorious light of the Lord. But it doesn't matter what it is, because regardless of the source, the solution is always the same. Press in prayer. We press in taking authority in Jesus' name. We stand in the gap and we fast and pray and we repent. We ask the Lord to search our hearts and we repent. And we repent for the generational sin in our bloodline. We can even stand in the gap and repent for the sin that occurred on the land in which we stand, even before we were there. We can remit that sin. We can bring it before the cross. We can confess the sin. Repent of it in Jesus' name. And apply the covering of the precious blood of the Lamb. And we can ask the Lord to apply the atonement of the cross to the ground. If it's your ground now, you have the authority to take it before the Lord. If it's your house, if it's your home, your apartment, your office, your workspace, where you stand is the ground God gave you. And you can pray over that land. You can intercede. And sometimes it's going to take a bit of a battle, people. So don't be discouraged. It might not happen overnight, but you just continue to stand. You continue to claim your land. Continue to search your hearts and add fasting and prayer to your efforts. You will find that those curses are broken, and you can remit them, remove them, command them off of your land in Jesus' name, and speak and proclaim the blessing of the Lord on your ground. The blessing will come. The anointing will come. Search your hearts and ask the Lord what he would call you to do. And do it with all your might. And sometimes it's going to take a little bit of effort. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violently. Believers are being assaulted through spiritual warfare. The enemy's on our, they know their time is short. They've stepped up their game. We better step up ours. But don't fear. Don't fear the enemy. They are no match for the power of the name of Jesus. They can only succeed in holding back heaven's provision and heaven's appointments to the extent that they can keep us in the dark as to the places of their access. And as you pray through it, it'll be uncovered and disclosed to you. So don't trouble yourselves and don't be anxious. And don't be fearful that we've been called to a fight. Do not fear what man could do to you, and do not fear the enemy either. Fear only the Lord. Let his dread be the only dread in your life. Then pray and ask God for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you need. Pray through the issues in your own heart. Pray through the issues in your bloodline, the generational issues. The Lord will reveal them to you. And pray through the issues of the ground on which you stand. Consecrate it all to the King. I'm here to take the land. You know, the beast is going to make war on the saints until the time comes for the children of God to possess the kingdom. Well, you get to choose when that time is for you. You're free to make your choice. I would suggest you choose wisely. And there's going to be a price required. You have to make a payment to take the land. It doesn't just come free. There's going to be a battle, just like when Israel took their land. Going to have to knock down some walls with the sound of the trumpet. We're going to have to march with praise songs in our hearts. We have to be sure there's no silver wedges hidden in our tents either. We won't be successful. Try this in compromise. Or if we attempt to stay with our sins, but don't fear the enemy. And these giants are but grasshoppers before the army of the Lord. They can't stop us. We can only stop ourselves. So we get to choose, when do you want to possess your land? I've decided I'm going to possess mine now. I don't see any reason to waste any more time. And we do have the authority, you know. The price has already been paid. The work is already finished. Jesus has overcome the world for us. All we have to do is repent and believe. Touch not the unclean things. And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow the direction of the Lord. Come out from among them. Separate yourselves. Set aside a year. This is a good year to choose. Set aside a portion of time to consecrate unto the Lord. Make it a Sabbath year for you and your family. Begin it with seasons of prayer and fasting. Do as the Lord would bid you to do. You're not to answer to man, you answer to your God. There's no guide coming either. The Lord wants you to learn how to follow him. Now, he will send some men of wisdom to give you some understanding into the things you need to do. But they didn't come as a guide for you. They came to point you to the shepherd. They came to open the scriptures so that your understanding could be increased, so that the knowledge within the remnant would greatly increase. Because when you know the truth, it's your knowledge of the truth that will set you free. As you exist in the darkness, you're in a state of ignorance and deception and denial. And the enemy wants to keep you confused and perplexed. And he wants you worrying about all of the things that Martha was so concerned about. Oh, what shall we do? Oh, what shall we wear? Where shall we go? Well, the end of all flesh is come. So there's no way you're going to find the answer to any of the questions that matter in your life through answers in the flesh. Don't concern yourself with those. Those answers don't work anyway. Even if you had answers to all these questions through the power and the strength of your flesh, your answers are vain and they are void. And they're not even valid. They won't even work. You may think you have all these questions answered, but if your answers are in the flesh, your answers are going to fail. You're going to get an F on the test. You must have answers in the spirit. Don't trouble yourself about the things of the flesh. This is the hour of God's great deliverance. Don't you think God is great enough to deliver you? As long as your faith in him is true, he most certainly will deliver you. This is a year when the Lord is going to do marvelous things. It's the year of transition. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I finished the book, and the Lord had me, the Lord said, this is the year of transition. We are in transition, and those of you that are mothers, I think you know about transition. It's getting late in the time of travail for the woman. We're in the third trimester, I think. And far along into the process, each one of us are entering into a transition. And we must make this transition in our minds. We must make transition in our hearts. The the baby could be breached. Or worse still. So it's important that we cooperate with the Lord and do not be afraid of the transition. It's for our deliverance, children. Listen, the arm of the flesh cannot profit you now. I know these things still appear a bit unseen, but you'll see them soon. The arm of the flesh can deliver no man from the day of the Lord. But the arm of the Lord is mighty and true, and our God is mighty to save, and your salvation comes through the deliverance of God, through the transition of your life into the things of the Spirit. And you're going to walk right through this hour that's coming rather than a great tribulation. For those of us that have struggled for so many years, your deliverance has come. I almost look at this as a great vacation. And we have nothing to worry about. I have no concern at all. Why would I fear my Father's day? Why would I fear the day when my Lord will lift his name up? I trust him with my life. And as Job said, if he slays me, yet I will praise him. And I know my God is going to do for me and for you whatever we need in order to work out within us his eternal plan of our salvation unto righteousness. So if we need a little more time of suffering, that will be provided. If we've had enough of the suffering and we're ready to stop the debate, are you ready to stop the debate? It's really a debate you don't want to win. So there's really no point in even entering in. You cannot win the debate. All you can do is go around the mountain one more time. Because the debate doesn't end until your flesh loses. And until you're ready to lose your flesh itself. And I know that it hurts. I know. But it only hurts as long as you try to hold on to that which is no longer good for you. It only hurts as long as you're not willing to let it go. You can't be like Lot's wife without bringing great sorrow upon your life. Sodom is burning soon, children. And we are all leaving it. And it would be best to not look back. Rather look forward. Because we're going to the mountains of Zion. Rather than trying to save the things of your flesh, trying to save the things of your life, trying to save that old part of yourself that God purposed to bring to the cross. Let the Lord do his work in us. Be at peace. What should we say now? Father, deliver us from this hour. It's for the purposes of God that we've been brought unto this hour. Rather, we should say, Father, glorify your name. And our focus should be on saving our friends, saving our children, saving the children that are not even ours. Maybe we should adopt them in the spirit. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have more children. I'm going to pick up the strays. And I'm going to get the throwaways. And I'm going to get the little children that are all alone and all afraid. And all they've known is hardship and sorrow. And they don't even know there's a God that loves them. Some of these children don't even know. Well, I'm praying the Lord would lead me to them. I'm going to get them. I'm going to save them. That's my heart. I don't care to save myself in this hour. Why would I? That would be pointless. You know, to the extent we try to save our life, we lose it. And every word of God is fulfilled twice. You know, I teach this over and over because some of you just don't understand. You need to open your eyes and begin to see clearly, because every word of God is fulfilled twice in your lives. If we seek to save our life in the flesh, by necessity we must lose the life in the spirit that could have been ours. You can't walk in two kingdoms, children. You can't enter the inner court and stay in the outer court at the same time. And you will never enter the Holy of Holies if all you do is dwell in the outer court. And you can't walk in destiny that was prepared for you by the Lord if you keep walking in the counsel of your own mind, fretting about all of those things of the flesh, like Martha, so anxious, so many things to worry about. And children, listen to me, that list is going to grow longer still as the light grows dim, as the waves of the sea lift up in the summer, the nations begin to roar. Those who've stayed in the place of fear and doubt will find it to become a place of torment and terror. We must leave the fear and doubt to the unbelievers. That is their portion. Rather than faith, they only have fear. And rather than hope, they only have their doubts. And rather than life, their portion is death. We need to try to reach them. Rather than save ourselves, we should save some of them. The scripture says, he who saves souls is wise. We should take our eyes off ourselves. Forget about yourself. Give your life to the Lord. Let your issues become the concern of the Lord. You concern yourself with the things of your God. Concern yourself with the children that are under your care. Concern yourself with your families and your friends, with your neighbors and with the people that you pass in the street. Concern yourself with the humanity that is perishing right before your eyes. Let your life become the Lord's concern. And all of this fear will just fade away. This is his day. It's not the day of the enemy. We've been sold a book of lies by the men who came among us. They weren't true prophets, nor did they have a true prophetic word. They came for the prophets, and they made a tidy sum. They left many of us filled with fear and confusion. Many people hoping they'll just disappear. Nothing could be further than the truth. We are not going to disappear. It's the Lord himself who will appear. The lives of his anointed ones. Hallelujah. And he's coming to deliver you, children. He's coming like a mighty lion from Judah. Even now, he's in the heavens. The Lord has mounted up his cherubim. He flies through the sky. He visits the earth often these days, children. He does. The Lord is already walking among us. He's peeking in the windows. He's watching over every one of us. He weighs every meditation of our heart. So what are we going to believe? Fear and the lies from the witches of Endor who are pushing out the news from Babylon? Are we going to believe the word of God that speaks in the wind? Are we going to believe the Holy Scriptures as they are unveiled before our eyes? The Scriptures are being unveiled. Now I know darkness is coming, and it's getting worse in terms of the world. Deep darkness has come. And deep darkness is coming on the people of this earth. And they will be driven into darkness, and it's only going to get worse. But for God's people, in the midst of this darkness, there will be light. In darkness there is light. And hope where there is none. A healing heart and a gentle touch. And where there is fear, there lays courage. Find the courage in the things of the Spirit. In those moments in time when the flesh becomes afraid, the courage is hidden within your spirit's children. In answers that will soon be heard. In moments of weakness when the lion roars, be still and wait for the eagle soars. It's a poem that's up on the little video board, written by a good friend of mine, Marla Eve. The Lord gave this to her the other day. In darkness there is light. Hope where there is none. It doesn't look like there's any hope in the world for us, but trust me, the Lord is the hope of His people. And He is going to prove Himself. He's going to reveal Himself. He told me so. He said, I'm going to reveal Myself to My people as their great salvation and as their mighty deliverer. God's going to show us how great His salvation really was. Then He's going to show us what He meant when He said, I'm mighty to save. He's coming like an eagle. He pictures Himself in the prophetic word as an eagle hovering, flying over His little nest, over His little flock. And He has the eyes of the eagle. He sees far into the future. Whenever danger comes to threaten His little lambs, He swoops down. He flies much faster than an eagle in the natural, because the Lord flies at the speed of light. With the lightning of His power, He thunders from above. When His lightning cracks open the heavens, you will hear the earth tremble and shake. And the Lord will move with the speed of light to deliver His people. He's going to reveal Himself. Going to hear the lion roar. You're going to watch the eagle soar. We have nothing to fear other than the Lord. But we should take very seriously, and we should be very diligent. We should become very good Bereans to carefully hear His word. Do not let it go in one ear and out the other. We must understand what He's saying to us. Then we must become doers of this word. You cannot be a hearer only in this hour. You must learn to be a doer if you want to walk with the Lord. If you want to enter in, you must walk in. You just can't talk about entering in. You actually have to walk in. So God would have us equipped, and that's what the year of transition is all about. And Dorothy, I wanted to share a couple excerpts from the seventh edition of the Day of the Lord, and to our listeners, the book is out. It'll be on Amazon within a couple days. There's a Kindle version that's going to be discounted at $1. And so if all you have is $1, you can get the book for $1, and you can download a Kindle app for for your computer. Just go do a little search for Kindle app, and you'll have a copy of the book on your computer, and it'll be really neat because you can do all the little Kindle book things. You can change the fonts, and you can scroll back and forth through the parts, and you can use it as a study guide, assuming you want to read the book. The Day of the Lord is at hand, and I think we're going to do that. The publisher is doing that with every one of the books. So Search the Scriptures, Out of the Darkness, which should be out within another 2 weeks, I think. The same thing will be true. It'll be $1 for you if you want to get the Kindle copy. And so praise God. It's pretty much the cheap. It's a precious word, but the cost for you is very low if you want to. If you want to have the book at next to zero Babylonian bucks. One Babylonian buck before the Babylonian money is worth nothing at all. Yeah, that's where we're going. Hallelujah. I wanted to read a couple excerpts for those of you that maybe you'll never take the time to actually read the book. I'll read a few things for you. This is, well, maybe you've already read the book and you're thinking, I don't really want to take the time to read the seventh version of this. That's fine. Perhaps you're very busy with other matters. I thought I would share with you a couple of the gems the Lord added to this seventh edition. This is the Seven Mountains section in the Here is the Mind that Has Wisdom part of the book. This is talking about the seven mountains. And, you know, the seven mountains are a big counterfeit today. You know, an entire assembly of saints thinks we're going to take back the earth in the flesh. That would really be hard to do with the end of all flesh coming upon us. But anyway, they're all confused, thinking we're doing this through the flesh. It'll be proved to be utter vanity quite soon. And the truth of the seven mountains teaching is that the seven mountains are the seven mountains of the beast. They are the false religious systems of the seven kingdoms of Babylon. They are all of the manifestations of the lie in which the deceiver of mankind has deceived the many into walking down the wide road unto eternal ruin. They're also the deceptions where the evil one has deceived the true saints of God and robbed them blind, even stealing the crowns of some, keeping them in a place of tohu and bohu, of vanity and desolation, because we simply cannot do the things of the kingdom, children, through the power or the strength of the flesh. All it will bring forth is wood, hay, and stubble. That truth has never changed. The Word of God remains unchanged throughout all of time. We must learn to do the works of the Spirit, or we will settle with the worthless reward of the flesh, which is to watch all of our works be burned in the fire. But here's the seven mountains. The mountains represent the high places of the earth, to which the people have always turned in fashioning for themselves a place to worship the Lord in ways which seem right in their eyes. And it is here, on the high places of the earth, that the rulers of the darkness of this world, who are the spiritual wickedness in high places, unveil the revelation which they bring through their angels of light, who are bearing doctrines of the demons, to deceive the many, who only do that which seems right in their eyes, but not in the eyes of the Lord. These mountains appear as citadels of truth to the men who look up to them, but the Lord has already condemned them. For he said, I will destroy your high places, for these are the high places of Baal, and they are full of all the abominations of the earth. These high places are the religious institutions of men, and the vain religious worship of the people, who remain lost in the darkness, having never turned from their sin. They are the resemblance of the curse which was prophesied to be poured out by the prophet Zechariah. For these are the institutions of men which were built in the land of Shinar, which are the plains of Babylon, where the men exalt themselves in the place of authority over the people, and the many who worship there are called the congregation of the dead. Unto them is the ministry of death given, as the only portion provided a people who, having never received the love of the truth, are left to perish in their sins. Only a few have been chosen. There are many who've been called, but only a few have been chosen. And the chosen ones must submit to the final burning and purging of the flesh, which is the carnal Adamic nature that resides in all of us from the fall. Only those who are willing to be separated unto God will become the first fruits of his resurrection. And the Lord will keep them, for they are vessels that he has prepared. They'll become the weapons of his indignation in the hour of his wrath, and they are the mighty ones which he called. The remnant have placed their lives upon the altar of God. As a living sacrifice, they've given everything to the Lord. They held nothing back. They have no other gods, no silver wedge hidden in their tent, and no hidden sins still lodged within. The man-child company which shall come forth from among the remnant will be born again totally in the Spirit. They will become the true sons of God, for they come to maturity first, and they will walk in the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, and they will bear his rod of iron in the power of his Spirit. The woman who is spiritual Israel is in travail even now. The Spirit of the Lord declares heaven is expecting. As the Spirit of God whispers in the wind, the remnant are all in travail, each of them pained to be delivered of the child. In heaven above, the Father awaits the birth of another son. For heaven is about to bring to birth the man-child of the book of Revelation, who shall become the grandsons of God. And they are the redeemed from among men, and they are about to be born again upon the earth. These chosen ones have been redeemed out of the last generation. They'll be given the authority and the power to rule the nations with his rod of iron. Before their birth, these sons of the king have been hidden from the church and the world. The woman who is true Israel is about to be persecuted in an unprecedented onslaught from the dragon. But she will be protected by God through the sons of his right hand. And they are the 144,000 who come now as lions from the tribe of Judah. They were willing to be separated unto God. They placed their all on his altar that burns in the heavens. And now they shall become the first fruits of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The year of transition. A year of transition has been appointed by God. While the nations the earth shall make ready for the great war, which will begin the final judgment of man. In the lives of the remnant, God is beginning to equip them for their long journey ahead, and he's preparing them to make them ready to overcome in the days in which the seals of revelation shall be opened. And during the year of transition, the remnant shall be quickened by the Spirit of God during the counting of the Omer, which shall be the final countdown before the judgment of God is released in the summer which will follow. And the remnant shall know to gather together in one accord, in solemn assemblies, and in times of fasting and prayer before the Lord. And they will be in one accord, far from the religious who accuse them and contend with the word of the Lord, who in their self-righteousness and in the blindness of their minds dismiss the warnings which have come from heaven, for they were unable to hear the truth. In the year of transition, the sickle will be put to the corn once again, and then the count of the Omer will begin. Following the offering of the first fruits of the land unto the Lord, after the 7 weeks of the Omer have been counted out, Then the judgment upon the church will begin, which is pictured by the cutting down of the wheat in the summer harvest, beginning at Pentecost. The sickle is put to the corn in the latter season of rain, in the first month of the sacred calendar, and the reaping will take place after the almond trees have bloomed. And it came to pass, and this is from the scriptures, that on the morning Moses went out into the tabernacle of witness, behold, the rod of Aaron out of the house of Levi had budded, and it brought forth flowers and blossoms and yielded almonds. The almond tree is the first to bloom in the land, and it represents the anointed leadership of the Lord. The almond tree is the awakener. Hallelujah. As a holy prophet who was appointed by the Lord, Jeremiah was given authority and power to pull down and destroy nations. And it was through Jeremiah's prophetic word that he fulfilled his commission. In the last days, the anointed almond trees of the Lord shall complete the mission of the holy prophets. And that which was written in the scroll for all time. The anointed ones of Israel shall come forth as these holy prophets did, and they will pick up again their work, for they shall now declare with a loud voice the prophetic judgments of God, and by their words they will bring forth the judgments which will be released upon the nations of the earth. The scripture says the word of God will thunder from the heavens, and the word is ra'am, which means to violently shake, a crashing thunder, to be irritated with anger and to make great trouble. And the anointed messengers of the Lord will bring forth prophetic declarations of judgment with thunder. They will violently oppose all forms of darkness, and they will be violently agitated against the enemies of God. The prophetic thunder of God's voice will be heard in their prophetic declarations as a whirlwind coming forth upon the land. The people will be provoked. They will become sorely afraid. They will stand in awe, and they will be troubled by the message of God that will come forth in the mouth of his holy remnant. The word of the Lord will anger the people, first angering them as a fire kindled upon the earth. But soon the word of God will turn into the force of a whirlwind, and the apostates and the heathen that were once filled with anger will now be filled with fear as the judgment begins to be poured out. And the messengers of God will become as coals of fire in that hour, burning even the very ground on which the apostates stand, along with the ears of the people who gathered to surround them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One little excerpt from, this is the Logic of World War III, and these are the writings of a friend of mine who I quote in the book. The hedonistic shopping mall regime never wanted conflict with Russia or anyone else. The existence of a real enemy would threaten the regime's values. Anyone who wrote of possible conflict was out of bounds. The very concept of an enemy was a threat to the basis of the modern American regime, negating its hedonistic assumptions. The West preferred shopping and having fun. Politics and war had become mean little ministers opposed to the good time. The attempted reversal of history's pattern might well prove fatal. The new Iron Curtain would become a curtain of denial, constructed by the West itself. The peace dividend meant more welfare pork in the pork barrel and less defense spending. So the left was satisfied. It also translated into economic exuberance and a booming stock market. The right was triumphant and self-congratulatory. Thus, the deception was perfect. Everyone was bought off emotionally and materially. The truth did not have one chance in a million. And so, we've been led into the valley of decision. And so our nation has traded the truth for the lie. We've been weighed in the scales of heaven's justice. And now we will face the consequence of having chosen the lie. Praise the Lord. God is equipping his people. We're in a year of transition. Now, I know that not everybody's on the same page, and that's fine. As long as we're in the same book, that's all that matters. You know, and then we're not all in the same time and place in terms of God's preparation of us. That's fine, too. Your life belongs to the Lord. You are the Lord's property. It's between you and your God. What he calls you to do. I'm merely doing what he called me to do. Now some will no doubt raise a voice of protest saying, you know, Benjamin, you've been wrong before on the timing. And I would say, this much is very obviously true. And perhaps we have another year or two. But I don't think I really want to entertain even the debate. Because I know in my spirit that the hour is late. And if by God's grace we do have a year or two more, then by all means prepare with even greater urgency. But my personal advice to you would be to take the warnings from heaven very seriously. Make your response God's revelation, the number one priority in your life. And if, by God's grace, it turns out we have another handful of years in which to prepare before the time comes when no man can work, then praise God. I'm not trying to say in the slightest that I'm absolutely certain things are going to bust out next summer. They certainly could. It looks like they should. But that doesn't mean God won't hold the storm back one more year. That's not the point of my warnings to you. What you need to understand, children, it doesn't even really matter how much time is left. I'm serious. That doesn't matter. It is what it is. Zema shazeh in Hebrew. It is what it is. It's either a few months or it's a few years. We don't have another generation. I think that's rather obvious to everyone by now. It is what it is. The time is what the time is. To those who can receive it, my words are faithful and true. To those who wish to remain a scoffer, then scoff on as you please. But in the end, all of the judgment of your scoffing will only come upon you. But in any event, the question at hand is, what is our condition? Are we ready? Because ready or not, tomorrow is going to come when the sun rises in the morning. And the light of the morning is coming soon as well. It's ready to break through upon all of us. We would be wise virgins to be sure our lamps are filled with oil and to be sure we are waking from our sleep now and that the lamps are bright and our garments are white and we're waiting for our master with all of our heart. That would be a good place to start, children. Search out the matters of your heart. Check the condition of your lamps. Make sure the oil is filled. Make sure the light is bright. And search diligently and make sure there is no darkness left yet within. Or any places where we may have found hidden some secret sin. Because only the pure in heart are going to be let in. The The rest of God's people are going to be purified in the fire. That's the reason for the solemn assemblies. That is the reason for the fasting and prayer. That is the reason you must turn off the bubble vision of Babylon now. That is the reason you must cleanse your homes. That is the reason you must destroy your satanic entertainment and burn it outside the camp. That is the reason you must choose which life you want to lose. Because you cannot have both of them, and you cannot save both of them. You're either going to keep your life of compromise in the flesh, or you can have the life of victory in the Spirit of God. But you cannot have both. If you try to save your life in the flesh, you will lose and forsake the victory that could have been yours in the Spirit. If you want the overcoming power of God and the victory of the life of Jesus in the Spirit, you must forsake and sacrifice the life of the flesh. The choice is for you to choose. Choose wisely. Now, there's no reason to panic. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing to panic about, given even the lateness of the hour. Be at peace. Our God is delivering us. We are not saving ourselves, okay? I can't save me. You can't save you. But our God can save all of us. And it's not even hard for the Lord. It's not. God's so powerful. He's infinitely powerful. And he has a mighty army in the heavens. And he's also about to bring forth another army on the earth. So the Lord has this covered. It's going to be 12,000 soldiers from each of the 12 tribes. The only tribe that is missing is Dan. But in their place we have Manasseh. We have Joseph, who's Ephraim. And we have Manasseh as well. We've got Judah and Reuben. Gad and Asher too. Naphtali and Manasseh. Simeon and Levi. Issachar and Zebulun. Yosef and Binyamin making up the rear. Or should I say in the front? Because the last shall be first now, and the first shall be last. Running into the gap in the heat of the battle, you will see the sons of Judah and the sons of Benjamin. And they are going to come in with the power of God. Their eyes will be blazing fire. No weapon of the enemy can even stand against the army of the Lord. We win this day, brothers and sisters. And it's not even a contest. The only contest that exists is in the heart of man. The only place where the outcome is uncertain is in that valley of decision, where so many wait, wringing their hands. Oh, the anxiety and the perplexity. Which way do we go? What shall we do? Now that the end of all flesh has come, what are we going to do? Well, really, the choice is up to you. But I find the matter relatively simple. Let the end of all flesh come within you, so that you could come within the presence of the Son of Man. Amen. And then do everything the Master said. Get your notebook out. Get a paper and a pen. Take a tip from your brother. Get your pens and your papers out and become a scribe. Take careful notes to the things you heard. Focus on the things that God instructed you to do. Then put them on a post-it note or put them in a nice handwritten, typewritten piece of paper with some ink take on it. And put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your wall. Put it on your door. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Put it everywhere in your house. Check your list once or twice each day. Remind yourself of all the things that are truly important as you're running around anxious about all those things in the flesh that you're not going to be doing a whole lot longer anyway. And pray for the solemn assemblies. These are key, brothers and sisters. Be in prayer for the solemn assemblies. The Lord's opening up a door for a solemn assembly. I praise God it's going to be in the mountains, and it's in the spring, and it's going to be awesome. And God wants to bring several of them. Myself, I would like to attend more than one, but praying about God opening doors for solemn assemblies for you, praying about who the Lord would have come, it's got to be people that are coming out of the denial. We cannot play the game anymore. Look, if you want to continue to play the church game, that's fine. Go play with the church people. And I know there's some godly people in the churches. I don't mean to demean them. But for the most part, there's a lot of pretense. There's a lot of compromise. Very few people speak honestly from the heart. At least in the churches I've visited. If you found a church where they speak the truth from the heart, then by all means, go have a solemn assembly with them. They'll do just fine. But you don't want to have a solemn assembly with people that are going to pretend. And people that are going to hide. And people that are going to be unwilling or unable to confess their sin. Unable, unwilling to be honest. And, you know, that's pointless. We don't need a solemn assembly to pretend. We don't need a solemn assembly to just be, well, you know how we are. I don't have to tell you. Look in the mirror. We've got to get more real than this. We've got to diligently pray that the Lord would search our hearts, because there are things within us we do not see, because we don't want to. Just like when Jesus told the disciples he was going to Jerusalem and there he would be killed, and the scripture says, but they did not understand. Now, what is so hard about these words to understand? They're easy to understand unless you don't want to understand. And that is the condition of many people. They do not want to know. And they do not want to understand. And there are no people more hopelessly blind than people who consciously and willfully turn their eyes away from the truth. But God, who is so rich in his mercy, continues to confront his people all the way until the very hour of the end. The Lord is crying out. You see, the Lord wants to help you. He does. We're already in the day of the Lord. We've entered into the seventh day of creation many years ago. We've been in the day of the Lord for over a decade. But God didn't begin the final devastating judgment of mankind. He began the judgments in phases, one after another, trying to wake the people. The judgment of 9/11, the judgment that came following it, the economic judgment of 2008, now the judgment that's going to come forth in 2015. Sequentially, the Lord has been turning up the heat. It's been one judgment after another, and each one successively harder than the last. The reason is God is wanting to awaken and turn his people back to righteousness. The first thing the Lord did in this day, which is his day, is he went looking for his sheep. The wicked can wait. They're not going anywhere. Before God begins the judgment of this earth and the judgment of this wicked system, before he's going to bring the house down in Babylon, God has something more important on his heart. His people. The very first thing the Lord thinks of, number one thing in his heart, is his sheep. That's why he did all of this. That's why he went to such efforts. That's why he's been so patient. That's why he waited 2,000 years. That's why he's been waiting for me and for you. God desires to save his sheep. And he knows they were scattered on every mountain. They were scattered by these mountains of falsehood. They were scattered by pastors who were hirelings and not shepherds. They were scattered by churches where so many were lost in the dark counsel of the mind of the flesh, walking it out in the aisles, in that place of the flesh, opposed to the things of God, in opposition to the Holy Spirit, but all the while walking it out in the knowledge of good and evil. And look what has come of all the things we've done through the knowledge of our good and evil. Well, it's all coming undone now. Before God brings his judgment, he's going to search for his sheep that got scattered in that mess. They were driven away, and many of them are wounded. Some of them are even broken. They have broken legs and broken hearts. So the Lord's going to search for his little flock. And he wants to bring as many in as possible so he can shelter them from the storm. Once he's recovered all of the remnant that will possibly respond, the last of the remnant are coming even now. Once the Lord has gathered all of the remnant into the secret hiding place, then he will close the door, and then the judgment will begin. And this is really going to happen. And it is really going to be more intense than you can imagine. And there's no way you're going to handle it in the mind of the flesh. And none of your provisions will be worth anything without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And your silver and your gold cannot deliver you if you're not in the secret hiding place of the Most High. You probably should have just spent all your silver and gold on a really expensive first-class vacation before these days come. Because they will just take it from you anyway, before they take everything from you. Now, the only possible way to prepare for the day of the Lord is in the Spirit of God. No other preparation will do. And if you haven't prepared in the Spirit, then I suspect your times are through. You won't last long once this starts. And maybe that's mercy, really. Because if you're walking through these days in the mind of the Spirit, you'll be full of peace. If you have the covering of God's Holy Spirit over your mind, your heart will be at rest, and you'll at least have peace. Now, you may observe hard, hurtful things with your eyes, but they'll be far from you. But if you're walking this out in the flesh, people will lose their minds. Fear is going to strike on a level that you've never seen before. We must come out of the mind of the flesh. If you're fearful today in the day of the footman, how will you handle when the horsemen are running through? That which you fear will come upon you. Fear only the Lord. Now, these things require God to do a change in you. You can't change your mind very easily any more than a leopard can change his stripes, but you can learn the discipline of the things of the Word of God, and if you obey the Lord and you walk in the things he's told you to do, you will find his deliverance being worked out in you. And either way, God's going to do what we need. He's going to work out our salvation as we work out our salvation with him. And praise God. I'm so thankful that the Day of the Lord book is finally completed. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing that it's up. And I know the publisher has also made provisions too. I'm not sure I was going to work it out, but it's going to be available wholesale to people that want to buy a quantity to give away at the church or give to all their family and friends. So if you think you might want to buy some for your friends, information will be provided where it'll be available at basically a wholesale 50%. I think so that'll end up being $10. Anyway, if you don't have the money, that's fine. I'm sure someone will share with you the Kindle copy. And I've waived the copyright, so feel free to copy the book. It's the only requirement is you can't resell it for a profit. But you have my permission to make 1,000,000 copies. Give them away to everyone you find in your path. And let's save as many souls as we can on our way back to the promised land. And there we will wait for our King. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, Dorothy. Thank you so much for tonight. And hope that was a blessing for everybody.
Well, it blessed me for sure. Got a few good comments in the chat room.
Well,
everybody
good.
Was listening more than commenting. I think.
Well, give my best to the chatters. I've never even been in a chat room. Oh, maybe I should come and join sometime. I don't even know how to get there.
You just scroll down from the link up above, but you have to have a sign-in name on Blog Talk. It won't let you post as a guest. It'll let you look, but not post.
Well, I couldn't be posting. I'm hosting. Can't be hosting
That's
and posting
true.
At the same time. I don't know that I could pay attention because I don't know that I could read.
It can be distracting. It can be distracting.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I kind of just go with the flow, and hopefully the flow is coming out of the Spirit of God and not out of the mind of man. You know, search all things, test all things. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, take nothing for granted. Test every word in this hour by the Word of God and in prayer. And if a word was meant for you, and for you it was meant to be true, God will confirm it for you with two or more witnesses. And if it doesn't get confirmed, then maybe it just wasn't meant for you. It's not prima facie evidence that the word was false. Maybe it just wasn't your word. You know, for example, the admonition of fasting and prayer. Well, that's clearly scriptural and contextually clearly last days focused. So I think we could ascertain and establish that that, in fact, is a word of God. But that doesn't mean it's for you, for whatever reason. Maybe you're not to fast and pray, or maybe God wants you to do something different. That's between you and the Lord. I didn't come to lay a yoke upon you. I just came to speak a word in your midst. What you do with it and what God confirms is for you and what is not for you, that's between you and the Lord. You don't go to anyone else other than the Lord. And God will confirm what parts are for you. And that's the part you're accountable for. So God bless all you guys, and those of you that prayed, thank you for your prayers very much. I thank you very much for your prayers and bringing forth the Day of the Lord. The seventh edition is, there's some glorious revelation in there. And I pray and believe that God's going to use it to bring victory and open the eyes of some of his remnant people, and then he's going to use them mightily to do great exploits in his kingdom. So, you know, we've all been a small part of something God's going to turn into. He's going to turn it into a big work, and we may never even see all the things that were accomplished through the travail of your prayers and through the ink of my pen, because it came forth through the Spirit of God. And you know, it's really the Lord's business where he takes it from there. And it doesn't even matter if we even know. All that matters is that we're faithful and true to whatever he calls us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Dorothy. Thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you guys or sharing with you guys next week. And, hey, check out The Day of the Lord is at Hand if you can, and look for it. You know, if the dollar is the deal, look for it on Kindle. It'll be up sometime in the next few days. The publisher is going to take it to $1, so practically free for you. The dollar goes to Amazon. That's the minimum that they'll distribute a work for. So we're giving it away for free, and all you're paying is $1 for Amazon to download it to you. So God bless you guys, and good night, Dorothy, and thank you again.
Good night, Benjamin.
Shalom.